And so I struggled with that quite a bit. Everybody around me was struggling with it as well. And I think what adds to it is that, you know, normally summer is my race season and I'll race maybe like once a month. But it's also where I see a lot of my friends, because over the years you make teammates and friends. We're all over the country, sometimes all over the world, but we meet each other at races. So it's not only the fact that we're not racing. It's also the fact that, well, first of all, we're locked in at home, but we're also not seeing anybody because they're just not local. So I think that kind of added to it. And that's when Zwift kind of came into play.
DN Plus One, global yet very local cycling podcast, brought to you by Lowland Cycling. Good day and welcome to the Lowland Cycling podcast. My name is Jerry De Bruin and I have my trustworthy co-host Jeff Swift with me. Hi Jeff, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Jerry?
Yeah, good. Good. As people might see when they look at YouTube, it's dark and rainy over here in beautiful Pennsylvania. And today we have again, a very special guest with us, professional triathlete from the Netherlands, but living in the USA, Lenny Ramsey. Well, welcome to the show, Lenny.
Hey, good, great to be here.
Yeah, it's, I told you, Lenny, how I found you. So I was actually looking up some results of one of our previous guests who was going to do, and he did, the triathlon in Florida. And then I saw your name and I thought, hey, that's interesting, from the Netherlands. How did that work with COVID and flying in from the Netherlands? And then I looked a little bit further and I saw that you're actually living in the US. So that's putting, let's say, one on one together. And that's how I found you. But again, thank you for joining. And Jeff always kicks off with the first question. So floor is yours, Jeff.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining, Lenny. So for our listeners, can you just give a description of like how you got started with triathlon and cycling in general?
Yeah, of course. I grew up in the Netherlands most of my life. I moved to the US about 10 years ago for grad school. I did my PhD in St. Louis. And growing up, I played soccer, but tore up my knees and just eventually kind of became sedentary and didn't do anything. For quite a few years. And then when I moved to the US for my PhD, I ended up kind of becoming a little bit more active, having still a lot of knee issues. And I finally had knee surgery. And then I picked up running after that. And after a few injuries after that, I kind of rolled into kind of like through a borrowed bike and taking swimming lessons, I kind of rolled into triathlon during my PhD years. And then within a couple of years, realizing that I was actually pretty good at it. And well, something becomes a little bit more fun when you are good at it. So, I really enjoyed it. I really loved it. And kind of started with some local short stuff and then built up to the half. And then I think my second summer of doing halves, I qualified for Worlds. And my second summer of triathlons in general. And then the year after that, I won my first amateur race, 70.3 in Chattanooga. I think that was 2016. And that was right as I was defending my PhD. I defended my PhD the week after. So it was kind of a weird time. And I just had accepted a job up in Wisconsin. And so I was moving and I didn't really know what to do with all of that. But then when I won the amateur field in 70.3 Racine, I decided to make the jump up to the pro field. And so 2017 was my first pro season. Not a great season, but it was a pro season. Right. And kind of gone from there. And I still sometimes feel like a rookie in the field. I'm like, yeah, this would have been my fourth pro season. With COVID, it was not really a real season. But, I kind of rolled into it that way. And kind of I've been growing as I'm going along. Like there's a lot that I'm still learning about racing. There's a lot I'm still improving on. Mm-hmm. And, my bike, I think, has been made the largest improvements. And that's something that I absolutely love. The run is definitely my strongest, though. Right. So I kind of rolled into it. Turned out that, I was good at it and just kind of stuck with it. I absolutely love it.
The, let's say, moving from soccer to running into to cycling, I think there is a parallel there with more athletes that kind of use soccer as almost like a stepping stone into to cycling, running, etc. That's super interesting how you do that, and mostly because of injuries, unfortunately, right? getting into that, but so starting. Did you start with, let's say, longer distance triathlons immediately, or did you kind of go from sprint, Olympic, and then longer? How was that path for you?
You know, my plan was to start with a sprint, but then I met a friend who I trained with a little bit, and he was signed up for an Olympic, and I was like, okay, well, why not? So I started off with the Olympic, and then qualified for age group nationals, did that, and that was my first summer of racing. But you know, the swim is not really, I started swimming like 5-6 years ago. I mean, I grew up in the Netherlands, you know, mm-hmm. we learn how to swim as right. kids, but it's breaststroke. It's, you know, being able to swim with your clothes on. It's being able to survive in the water. Yep. And I was very comfortable in the water. I was just not going anywhere. And so the swim still is my large struggle. And in the Olympic distance, you know, the swim is just relatively a longer portion of the race. So it's just not ideal. And I think that first summer that I did triathlons, I decided to end the summer in doing a fall 70.3, a local race. And that's when I realized that was kind of where, what I really enjoyed most. I like that slightly longer distance. I'm not very fast when it comes to short distances. Mm-hmm. I find that very hard. So the 70.3 was kind of what I focused on and what got me my pro card. But then 2 years ago, I finally decided to try a full. And my coach had been saying for years that I'd be better at the full, but that I should only do it if I really wanted to because it's miserable. So I was like, okay, well. Right. But eventually I reached a point where I was like, okay, I really want to give this a try. And that's when I realized that the longer, the better. Like, I love that long distance. The full Ironman is my distance, and I absolutely love everything about it. I love the training for it. And I love the race itself. So that's mostly my focus now.
Right. And the training aspect is interesting. So long distance training, for me, often it's like almost a Zen type of moment, because you're just making miles and living in your own small bubble, right? What else do you do? You are in your thoughts. What is so, let's say, attractive? Why do you like the long distance and the training for it so much?
I don't think I have a really good answer to that. I mean, I love, you know, you can put me on my bike for 5 or 6 hours and I absolutely love it. And, you know, yes, you're in your own head and you're constantly thinking about all kinds of things and nothing and everything. And I feel like I kind of go in and out of focus. And sometimes I'm, you know, bad days and during races, you know, I'll fight myself a lot in my head. But there is something to that. I think I just love that feeling of accomplishment when I'm doing it. I can set myself targets, especially during training. I can be like, okay, you know, but I train with wattage on the bike, for example, you know, I have wattage targets to hit, and I can really, you know, hone in on that and just do everything I can to try to hit those numbers. And I find a lot of peace in that too. And I think that's really, it's just really my time. And it's just, I don't listen to music. I don't, my phone is on, like, well, it's on just for tracking purposes, but like the sound's off. Like, I don't respond to anything. That's really my time.
There's been a lot of advancements within mountain biking and road, right? With discs and aero and all that. Do you see the same level of advancements within triathlon? Has it been like a short window of a lot of incremental advancements?
You mean specifically on the bike?
Yeah, or just, you know, even training. You know, we're seeing now that people are inside, they're using Trainer Road, they're using Zwift, they're doing sweet spot training, right? So you can, you don't have to ride for 5 hours to do a 5 hour race. You can ride for 2 hours, right? Are you seeing the same kind of advancements?
I think yes and no. I think, you know, the kind of depending on kind of how large of a time window you take, I think one of the major changes that I see has been nutrition. I think, you know, when you're racing 5 or 10 hours, nutrition is absolutely everything.
Right.
And of course, you know, of course the equipment has changed and improved. But, you know, just the sports nutrition in general and all the supplements and everything that goes around that, like, you know, there's new stuff all the time, right? Now with the CBD, and there's always something new coming with that. I don't know how much of it will stick. You know, some of it I think is temporary and some of it will kind of stick, but I think there's a lot to it in terms of, you know, having your best race really depends on yes, your training, but also what you do in terms of nutrition. And I just find that, to me, that's the most interesting. I'm sure, I mean, yeah, of course the bikes have made lots of improvements. I mean, I've only been in the sport for what, 5-6 years. I mean, I have a nice bike and I love it. You know, the switch to Di2 was amazing. But like, I don't think I've been around enough or long enough to really see those major changes or those major shifts, because I feel like a lot of that was around when I started.
Right.
And the same with the running shoes, you know, maybe those Nikes or whatever are better or faster. But to me, like, just find a pair that works for you. I have a pair that I love, and people think I'm crazy that I run marathons in them, but they work for me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it took me a long time to find what I wanted, and I just kind of not going to switch that out. So I think there's a lot of personal preference. And in the end, yes, like having a faster bike and good race wheels matters, but I don't feel like, you know, you don't want to go from a road bike. I can't compete in a road bike, right? But as long as I have a decent tri bike, a decent time trial bike, I think in the end it comes down to the person and not as much to whatever you have on it.
Right.
You know, as a full Ironman distance racer, like having a slightly lighter bike or slightly lighter wheels, in the end, I put multiple bottles on there. I carry nutrition with me. I feel like it's, in the end, does it really matter? I'm not sure. And I'd rather have my own nutrition with me than taking only what's on course. I have to take some what's on course, obviously. But, you know, I try to take as much as I can with me too. So it's kind of it's a balance. But in the end, I think especially in full distance, in the end, you're the one that matters, right? You and your head and your preparation.
Right.
And that's kind of what it comes down to.
And everybody is unique from that perspective, right? So
for
the bike and the shoes can be a little bit more generic. You pick a pair that you like, you pick a bike, a saddle that you like. Specifically nutrition and the mental aspect, that's really you, and that can be a lifelong effort, I guess, to kind of find out who you are and what works for you. But on the nutrition level, more and more we learn. One thing that I find interesting is the metabolic rate testing. Does it sound familiar to you? Is that something that you have done with the VO2 max and your metabolic rate?
I've not done it.
Okay.
No, I'm familiar with it.
Right.
I've more gone through trial and error.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Kind of like, oh, what can I handle and what works well for me? And I kind of, you know, it took a little bit to figure that out, but I think I've got my race nutrition pretty dialed in.
Yeah, exactly.
To the point where I think I get what I need. And I think if you put in the hours that we put in training, you also know when your body needs something. Mm-hmm. At least I feel like I do. And you know, if I, you know, my race nutrition plan is on target, but I feel like I'm, you know, hungry or feel like I'm going to need something extra, then I take extra.
Right.
I don't get too stuck in that. I think I do like to kind of trust my body in that.
Right. Right. And so the trial and error aspect is important, I guess, right? You learn and you improve. In addition to being a professional triathlete and being a assistant professor, if I'm correct.
I was an assistant professor. I used to teach at a liberal arts college, but we moved. My wife had a job change and we moved. So now I work in a lab as an associate. As a research associate. So,
but still, right? So you have a more like a corporate profession also, and then in addition to that, you have you're a coach also, correct?
Yes.
So, I think the first, and they are maybe far apart, but the first question is: how do you combine everything, and how do you prioritize at the right moment? And then the next thing would be: what do you like about coaching?
Balancing. People always ask me how do you balance, or if there is a balance. I'm not sure there ever is a real balance.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's always something else to give a little bit. it helps a lot that I have a very supportive wife that supports me in what I do and knows what I do. And when I have long days, she's there and lets me do my own thing and, you know, make sure that I'm still alive when I get home. But like, you know, she just lets me, gives me that space. And otherwise I schedule, like I schedule out my week pretty much to a T. I know usually my coach gives me my schedule for the week, probably before the weekend. So over the weekend, I will kind of figure out my schedule for the rest of the week. I've been lucky that both my, as an assistant professor, as well as now doing research, my schedule is somewhat flexible. I can, unless I have meetings, outside of that, I can move stuff around. So I can work in the evening, or I can work in the early morning, or kind of whenever, if I want to do a workout during the day when it's still light out or something. So I've been lucky in that aspect. But my days are pretty planned out. I mean, I get up at probably between 5 and 5:30, 7 days a week. And I get my first workouts done in the morning, and then I'll work, and then I'll get my second and third workouts done in the evening, right after work. So it's just planning and, you know, making sure that I have everything prepared. When I, you know, now I've been working from home because of everything, so it's not as important, but when I was going into the office or, every day, you know, I had, you know, on Sunday, I had all of my breakfast for the week packed because I would go to the pool in the morning and then go straight to work. And I have my breakfast with me. I would like get all of my lunches ready and all of that would be in the fridge. You know, no oil. So everything is basically ready to go. And that way I could kind of maintain, because I really don't like skipping workouts. So they're very tightly planned in, and generally there's very little wiggle room there.
Right.
Now that it's, you know, when it's off season, now it's January, so we're kind of picking it back up. But like, you know, November, December, when we're kind of somewhere in that, I'll take a couple weeks off and then have a few weeks where we kind of slowly start building. I'll be more flexible and it doesn't matter as much. But generally, I tend to hit every workout because it's not like skipping them. So it's just planning, a lot of planning.
That's mandatory almost like, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And in terms of coaching, I don't coach a ton of athletes. I usually coach 3 to 5 athletes, maybe somewhere in that range. Because I like to actually know my athletes and I like to have the kind of like the mental space next to work and training to kind of be able to know what's going on in my athlete's life and in terms of their training. So that's kind of where I've always kind of limited it. And that's worked pretty well. And the reason I do it is that I just really love it. I feel like it brings kind of together my passions for triathlon, my kind of passion for teaching. I really love teaching. And I can kind of get some of my kind of, you know, my sciencey background in there as well. Right. I like numbers. I like the mental aspect of it. I just find that fascinating. So kind of being able to kind of dive into that with my athletes, it's just something that I really love to do.
Yeah. So I had a friend back in college that did an Ironman triathlon. I remember he kind of backed up what you had said. I remember he, in the 90s, everyone was eating those power bars. I don't know if you remember those. They were like a brick, right? You know, break your teeth trying to eat one, right? And he'd have to eat like, I can't remember how many. It was a crazy amount over the course of the race. So he like just had digestive problems and he's in his 20s, right? He's just trying do all this. But I remember he was very specific about his training, where we would go on these group rides and he would have his shoes set up as soon as he got off the bike, boom, you know, throw it on the bike rack, put on his shoes and then just keep going. Do you feel like that is something that you need to train also? Is those transitions and getting right into the next sport?
I think yes. I think, you know, as an athlete, you'll learn kind of what comes more natural to you and what doesn't. To me, the run off the bike comes very natural. That is something that I'm very comfortable at. And I don't, so if there's, you know, if it just happens that I need to do my run a couple hours later, then I will be okay. I do think, you know, in general, you want to practice those things as any athlete. I do, you know, after every long bike ride, I tend to run right after. Just because you want to kind of, even if I've been on my bike for 7 hours, I need to be able to run off of that, right? So that's the best time to practice is when your legs are that tired. Right. That is something that I love, and I personally love doing, so I don't mind that at all. I love the run. Like the run is just, it's been something that gets me injured a ton, which is the downside of it, but it is something that I absolutely love to do and comes very natural to me. Like the cadence just goes and my legs just go, and it's just kind of, yeah, it's a comfort place for sure for me.
Yeah. So is that where you feel like you gain the most on your competitors, is when you get to the run section?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. I'm on the slower end when it comes to the swim. I'm working on it, but it's still a work in progress very much. I think I'm a middle of the pack cyclist. I've had a couple good where I'm kind of in the top end in terms of the bike. I'm better on hillier courses. Flat's not really in my thing. I struggle with that, both in terms of physical staying in aero, but also the mental aspect of it. Just nothing to break it up. So I think I'm better off on like hilly courses. And then I've had some good bike rides there, but generally the run is where I kind of close gaps. Yeah, for sure.
Right. Yeah. So I looked at your Strava and I saw you got a run in today, and just as a reference, I think it was 8.5 mile run or something, and you did 7 minute mile average, and for me that's like right, it's when I run, that's my, let's say, and then for you it was a zone one type of effort. For me that's a zone 4 or 5, like race effort, between 6.5-7 minutes. Right, so that's again, just to kind of put things in perspective, like the pro top elite level, you on your race basis, then probably around 5 or 5.5 minutes a mile, or maybe not on the full marathon.
For the marathon, so generally when I race a half Ironman, my marathon time is usually a 1:24-ish. So I think that's probably something around 6:30.
Right,
something like that. Mm-hmm. And then my fastest full marathon, because I was actually not injured and actually was able to train fully up to it, was in Lanzarote. And I think I ran a 2:58, which is probably just under 6:50s maybe.
Right. Yeah.
So that's probably marathon pace, should be around that 6:40, 6:50 range.
Right.
That's kind of where normally when I'm in shape, that's the 6:40s is kind of where my endurance pace falls.
Right. Right. But on a 5K or something like that, you probably would be
I'm not very fast. Dropping below sixes for me is really hard.
Yeah, and that's interesting.
Very painful.
Yeah.
I've run like an 18-minute 5K, but that's probably as fast as it'll go.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's super interesting.
I'm not, the high speed is just, that's something that I struggle with a lot,
right,
in all disciplines.
Right.
I can go long and steady. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I'm at.
Right. And that's somebody that's on Swift and on YouTube, and somebody like Lionel Sanders, right, who has a big presence on YouTube. It's super interesting to see how he trains and gets his 5 miles, sets the Canadian hour record. Just, and maybe that obviously has to do with COVID also, and that's probably a good segue into how was 2020 for you? You did at least one race that I saw, but
yeah.
How did you kind of move through 2020, and how were you able to deal with not being able to race?
It was a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. You know, building up for a full Ironman is quite a bit that goes into it, physically, mentally. And then we did a couple builds towards races that we thought may or may not happen, especially in the beginning. We were still building, we didn't know what was happening. And then when that doesn't happen, that is just such a, I don't know, it's hard to describe, but that's definitely a few days where you're like physically ready to perform, and then there's just nothing there. Mm-hmm. And we did that a couple times to the point where I just mentally was kind of out. Done. So we took a little bit of time off, because I just couldn't get myself back in the groove. I was like, this is not happening. No races are happening. I don't know what to do. What am I doing it for? Right. The whole purpose kind of goes out the window.
Right.
And so I struggled with that quite a bit. Everybody around me was struggling with it as well. And I think what adds to it is that you know, normally summer is my race season and I'll race maybe like once a month. But it's also where I see a lot of my friends because over the years you make teammates and friends. We're all over the country, sometimes all over the world, but we meet each other at races. So it's not only the fact that we're not racing. It's also the fact that, well, first of all, we're locked in at home, but we're also not seeing anybody because they're just not local. So I think that kind of added to it. And that's when Zwift kind of came into play. So I think that turned things around in a certain way. It's not the same, right? You know, 1 hour Zwift race or 40 minutes Zwift race, it's not the same as racing an Ironman. But it gave us that little competitive edge, that little bit where we could really bite into and really just give it all you've got while generally, you know, we're on headphones on and you're chatting with other teammates. And like, these are people that I normally would see in real life at races, but now we're just all together in it, doing something completely different, but all like doing the best that we can. And that usually means if it's road races, that usually means that we just hang with the pack for as long as we can and then lose it on the sprint because we're not sprinters. But but it's just been, that has definitely made this year, I don't want to say more bearable because that sounds very negative, but that definitely has been kind of a light in this year. I've met other triathletes through it, other professional triathletes that now I race on a team with, and it's just been that has just been a really good experience and really fun to do.
Yeah, that's really cool. Did you do let's say normal races, but you also did team time trial on Zwift, I believe, right? That's hard, right? It seems easy because you kind of you have to take a pull and then you fall back, but Zwift is really particular with the draft and sticking in it. How was that for you?
So we've actually been doing the team time trials for a few months now. We do them every Thursday. Oh, okay. And we have kind of a set team. And I love it. I mean, it's just so much fun to work as a team together, but you're right. It is so hard because that on off, so you're on for a very short period of time, but at a pretty intense level, and then dropping off and making sure that you don't drop off too far and then stick with it. And then, you know, the different courses every week. So sometimes they're very, very hilly, sometimes they're very flat. But, you know, trying to hit a hill with everything that you've got, because I'm not a sprinter, right? So trying that to hit a hill with everything that I get, that I have, and then trying to catch back on and get back into that rotation groove right after. It's definitely been a learning process for all of us, but a fun one. And it's nice to just all be on headphones. We're all like huffing and puffing, and like, but we're all in it together. I love the team time trials.
Right. And also here for... to put things in perspective, when you take a pull, and not even uphill, but take a pull, it's between 4.5 and 5.5 watts per kilogram, and then you 30 seconds or a minute, and you rotate back. But that's a substantial effort, right? Yeah.
So here in Pennsylvania, pretty much all of our road races were canceled with COVID. There was just no way to do it. But with the mountain bike races, they were able to do it like a time trial start, right? So 30 seconds between each racer. Were they able to modify any of the triathlons to do something similar?
There really wasn't a lot, especially in terms of pro races. There were some local races that happened. And then the PTO, which is the Professional Triathlon Organization, they kind of started up a couple of years back. And they're actually trying to make triathlon a better sport for professionals. And they did a pretty good job towards the fall where they actually picked some smaller races and added a prize pot to it. So these were just local races. And I did a race up in Indiana, which was an Olympic distance. I'll talk about that one. no, I'm kidding. It wasn't my best race. But then I did one in Florida, which was a 1/3 Ironman distance, which is kind of weird but fun to do. And so they put a prize pot on that, so just to get pros to come out. And so with that, at a very small, much smaller scale than like an Ironman would be, they were still able to pull off races where, you know, they had masks everywhere and hand sanitizer everywhere and tried to keep everybody socially distanced. And they did a pretty good job. It's never ideal to have a few hundred people on the same course, but it's an individual sport, so we're also all ready kind of spread out. except for in the water maybe, but after that, we're all kind of spread out. So I think that lends itself a little bit better as long as you don't have a few thousand people on the same course. So they kept the numbers small, but gave us something to do, something to race. That was really great just for us to be able to get out. And then, of course, Ironman Florida happened. And Ironman has been doing the best they can to try to space everything out, from packet pickup where you have to set up a specific time and everybody is socially distanced and everybody's temperature is checked before you go in, to in transition, a little bit more space. Everybody's wearing a mask before the race. They have masks to hand out right after you're done. Try to keep spectators away, all that kind of stuff. So again, I don't think it's perfect, but I think they did a pretty good job at trying to at least make it work. And I'm glad I got to race Florida. It was just such a weird buildup to it that I knew I wasn't ready for it, which I think put me mentally and physically not in the best space. But I'm really glad that I was able to do it and just at least get one race out, one real race. I did those two smaller ones, which was fun. But the full Ironman distance is kind of what I do it for. So I'm glad I was able to race.
Right. And you did it to Daytona then? Or was that one of the two?
Yeah. No, you have to qualify for that, and I didn't qualify.
Okay.
It was basically the PTO ranked everybody, and the top 50 basically got a spot, and then there was a little bit of a roll down. There were some slots that were given away at races, but I did not get a slot there. I think I ranked like 74 or something, 76, right. Something like that. So not in the top 50.
Right.
So hopefully in the future.
Yeah. So and they had a big prize pot, right? So that's that was huge. I did watch it, and it was an interesting format. It was not the exact, let's say, half triathlon distance. It was a little bit off, but it was on the Daytona track. The speedway, the Daytona Speedway, so that was contained in that oval. It was interesting to listen, almost like reflecting what they could have had improved. I think they are working together with NASCAR to see how they can improve the footage and how to capture the athletes, etc., just to keep on improving. So I thought it was an interesting concept. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. I loved watching it. That was, I mean, that's the top end of the sport, of all different distances, all coming together and having that kind of footage on it. I mean, that was, they did a good job. I love that. So I'm hoping they're going to keep doing that.
Right.
So you said you were out in Wisconsin. Were you in Madison?
About an hour outside of Madison, a small town called Waukesha, kind of between Madison and Milwaukee.
Yeah. Okay. Because yeah. I know the road racing scene up there in Madison, especially is huge. You know, we kind of stumbled out there. Yeah, we were driving through there on the way to a mountain bike race and stopped in, and there was like local crits that were huge, like just very well attended. So did you ever dabble in any road racing or crit racing?
I have not. Maybe in the future. I'm so used to riding alone that riding with a bunch of people right around me kind of terrifies me.
Right.
I do it now on Zwift, but that's not the same. So I haven't quite mustered up the confidence to go ride in a group. I also have to say that up till probably last year, I rarely touched my road bike. I did everything on my TT bike. It's so comfortable on it. Now that I've been doing all the Zwift stuff, I switched to my road bike because you just can generate more quick power on a road bike. And so I've been riding it outside more now too. And I now really enjoy it, but that has taken me some time. I was just so used to that time trial bike. Riding that close to people, the crashes that you see, it terrifies me a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe in the future, but not right now.
Yeah. I remember the Madison group was really competitive too. So there's a lot of bumping bars and elbows and stuff. Like they weren't letting these out of towners, take their prize money.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
So now you're, pretty close to Bentonville, Arkansas, which is the mountain bike hub in the US.
Yeah.
Any temptation to try out mountain biking?
I am tempted. It seems like something that I would really enjoy. I just worry that I will break myself into pieces. So I think that might have to wait a couple of years. Maybe once I kind of step back from the pro racing in terms of triathlon, I think then sports like that will be more on the forefront. I tend to get injured a lot, mostly through running, mm-hmm. not doing anything really, just running. I have had a few stress fractures. I've had tendonitis pretty much everywhere. And I feel like I don't need to add anything to that.
Right.
I don't like not being able to train, so I would like to minimize the chances of throwing myself off of that. I also used to snowboard a lot, and it's just a little bit of fear now, a little bit of anxiety. I just can't find the fun in doing that right now. I used to rock climb, the same thing. I just, at some point, it wasn't enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll all come back once I take a step back from racing as a professional triathlete. But for now, I just want to keep my body in one piece.
Right. It has a higher priority than taking the additional risk of crashing. When you're ready to go out, I think we can easily get you in contact with Rich Drew, who was a previous guest on the podcast, and he actually does a lot of almost like training, or how would you call it?
Yeah, it's like seminars that he does.
So he has this whole setup with where you jump and you slalom, and it's near the downhill tracks that they keep on expanding and building in that area. So he does that. So
that sounds fun.
Super nice guy, great guy. Yeah, the running injuries, and then running being the instigator for injuries. And do you have any good and best practices to prevent running injuries from happening through strength training, through nutrition? Anything else?
I think it's all of the above. I think I had three or four stress fractures within a couple of years, and I think I don't really know what got rid of that. I haven't had one in a few years, and it might have been a switching coach, just kind of building up things more slowly, or maybe just luck. But I tend to have quite a bit of tendonitis, and there's not really a good predictor of where it's going to pop up. It's just that it will every so often pop up somewhere. And I don't have a good answer for that. I think building up the run safely and steadily is important. Just don't make, I always, you know, people, I like to go, if I could have gone out today and gone for like an hour and a half or 2 hour run, it's gorgeous weather here. It's been snowing all week and cold. And today was the 50s and sunny. So yeah, I would love to go out for a 2 hour run, but I'm not there in my training. So, you know, really sticking kind of the plan in terms of where I'm at in my build, I think for me at least is very important. Strength training. I do heavier lifting over the winter. Part of that is also for cycling. Muscle is just more important. I don't build muscle that well, but power is important in both the swim and the bike.
Right.
But also for injury prevention as well. And then during the season, I do more body weight stuff and stability, to try to kind of prevent any injuries. And then definitely nutrition. I do watch what I eat. I don't watch my diet in terms of weight as much. I also gain a few pounds in the winter when my draining drops back, but I think that's healthy for the body.
Right.
And I'll lose that once my training picks back up. I'm not too worried about that. So I don't watch my calories or anything like that, but I do make sure that I get kind of try to get what I need. I don't eat meat, but I do eat seafood. But I do need to supplement in terms of protein. I need to make sure that I do eat dairy. And I do need to get the calcium. I supplement with iron, because I know that that's something that I struggle with. So I try to definitely kind of keep an eye on that. And I try to get my blood work done at least once a year to make sure that I'm kind of on track with all the basics, just to make sure.
Right.
So I think and the other thing that I do think is important is just rolling. I take some time pretty much every evening, just sit down at the end of the day in front of the TV and just kind of roll up mostly my legs, just to make sure that everything is kind of not too tightened up.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's important for me as well.
So if someone was interested in getting into triathlons, what do you think would be their first step? And like, how long do you think it would take for them to transition and to be ready for their first race?
I do recommend starting off shorter. There's, I know that Ironmans are often like a bucket list item, mm-hmm. and that people like to jump into that. But, you can benefit from taking the time to train up for that. It also kind of depends on what you want. Do you just want to do an Ironman one and done just to have finished it? Or do you actually want to see how fast you can get with, your body and what you can do? So I think there's all kinds of different aspects you have to kind of consider when you try to think of what is a good timing. But I think shorter distances are good practice, no matter what you say. Like, doing a few shorter distances isn't going to hurt anybody, and it'll just give you more time to build up towards the longer distances and get used to kind of switching from one discipline to the other and kind of figuring out where your weaknesses and strengths are. So I don't necessarily believe you want to rush into any of it. I think if you have a sports background, and you're somewhat in shape, then within a few months you can be ready for a sprint or an Olympic. If you've never really ran before, or you haven't really done anything on a bike, then maybe you want to take a little bit more time to get comfortable, especially on the bike. I think you can do whatever, but you're going to want to clip in on that bike, right? You're going to want to be comfortable grabbing your bottles and drinking. So I think it makes sense to take the time to do that if you haven't done that before. But if you have a background in any of these sports, or a cyclist by training or something like that, or you are at least a competitive athlete until somewhat recently, even if it's a different sport, I think it'll be a shorter lead-in time. So it kind of depends on what your background is and where you're coming from. But I would say, start by just trying out all three sports and making sure, seeing where you're at, where do you need the most work. I also do recommend hiring a coach. I think coaches are beneficial for many different reasons. They can answer all your questions. That's a good place to start. But I do think it's important to think of triathlon as one sport and not just of three different sports. Yes, you need to be competent in all three. But you also need to find a balance between the three, and you need to figure out kind of how to balance that. For example, if you don't spend enough time on the bike, you can be the best runner in the world, but you're not going to be a good runner after that bike ride. And so I think just having a coach that has a bit of an oversight on that and can kind of make sure that you get enough training, that you also don't overtrain, I think is important. Plus, I think it helps a lot with balance. Mentioned balance a little bit earlier, but I can plan out my schedule because I know what my workouts are going to be the rest of the
day. Right.
And before I had a coach, I love to run, but I just go out and run my same loop every day. Mm-hmm. Right. There was no purpose to my runs. It was just, I enjoyed that loop. And then the weekend, maybe I'd run a little bit longer. Right. And so you can plan out your own stuff, and you can even download a plan. But I think having something that's kind of a little bit more tailored to you and your needs, kind of where your strengths and weaknesses are, I think a coach can be very helpful. Knowing what kind of strength training would benefit you, and if there are any issues, kind of how to circumvent those. So I think, at least for me, I've benefited a ton from having a coach. And I would recommend that to anybody that wants to, at least see what they can do, right? I think people tend to put too much emphasis on the full Ironman, and it took me a few years to get there. And I think that's okay.
Yeah.
There's the half Ironman is quite something. And the sprint and Olympic is extremely hard. Even now, if I have to race a sprint or an Olympic, that kind of scares me because it is hard. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like it's anything less than a half or a full. So I think, at least if you want to build up to the full, if that's your eventual goal, take the time to go through the shorter ones, and just take the time to build up and have a good race without... also wrecking your body in the process. Giving your body time to adjust to that amount of training and those distances is probably safer.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's good advice, because I have a few cycling friends that they're like, there's a little triathlon, I'm going to go in it and probably win it. They just went in there thinking, how hard could it be? And they were blown away with how hard it was, right? Mm-hmm. And like you said, the shorter the distance, the faster it was, and I asked my buddy, I'm like, so I think the run was like, is there a 5K? Is that sprint?
Sprint is a 5K.
Yep.
Yeah. So So I said, so what is that? Like a slow sprint? He's like, no, it's like a full on sprint all the time. He said, like, guys were just zipping like, by him. He's like, oh my God, he went from first place to like 30th, you know, within 3K or 5K. So,
no, but
yeah, actually, I think listening to a coach or getting some experience before just jumping in, it's good advice.
Yeah, it's three disciplines, right? It's not just one. And then you have the transitions that you mentioned earlier. But if you start with the swim, people get a lot of anxiety, right? They have trained for swimming in the swimming pool. It's blue. You see the lines. It's all clear. And then they wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning because a race starts at 7, right? And the sun is really low. You can't see anything. You're in the water and you can't see anything because the water is dark, right? And there's a ton of people around you. Then you're already here with anxiety, so you can't breathe. And, and then the start goes and everybody goes off. And it's like people literally think that they're going to drown. And give up. It happens that often, and then you have the transition, and you didn't walk the path. So you get to the transition point, and there are 1,500 bikes there, and you think, where did I leave my bike? And you see people running around trying to find their bike because they can't find their bike, right? Stuff like that happens all the time. And so, to your point, Lenny. Starting small and don't have too high of expectations, like I'm going to win. That's probably the best thing because it will ruin your day, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, on some of our past interviews with track cyclists, they talk about how different velodromes are faster, and you'll do better here because it's at altitude, or this track is indoors. Is there something similar with triathlons? Like, does everyone know, like, this is the fastest course and this one's tough because it crests in the center, like the New York Marathon, things like that? So do you evaluate all of those factors?
Yes, definitely. I think every course, even on the Ironman website, for example, it'll kind of list what the swim's going to be like and what the bike's going to be like and what the run's going to be like. And everybody has their preference. There are a lot of people that really like the really fast courses, like Ironman Texas, for example, is flat and fast. It's not my thing. I don't do well in that. Give me hills, give me mountains, and give me heat. The hotter, the better. The harder the course, the better off I am. I'd rather have other people fall apart and I can keep going than just it all become a brute match of power, because that's not what I'm going to win on the bike, especially. I'm not going to win on a straight flat course where it's just sitting an arrow for, you know, more than 100 miles and just putting down that raw power. That's not something I'm going to win. It's just not who I am. It's not the power, the strength that I have. The run can be flat or hilly. I do well on hilly courses. Again, I think the harder it is, the better my run kind of shows itself. So heat or hills, I will take those. And then if there's a downstream swim, I won't say no.
Exactly.
Chattanooga has a downstream swim, in Cozumel. You swim with the current. Like, those are the kind of swims that I do appreciate. The shorter the swim's going to take everybody, the less time I lose there. So I just give me more, less time on the swim and more time on the bike and the run. But like that, everybody has their preference. For me, it's the hillier and hotter courses where I do better.
So it's hilly and hot. Like, that's the 180 opposite of how it's like in the Netherlands, right? There's no hills and it's almost never hot. So that's
I don't know where that came from. But
yeah. Do you are you in active contact with the Dutch triathlon union or federation?
No.
Yeah, that's I figured that. That's so strange.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I feel like they are more focused on the shorter distance and the Olympic and the ITU style racing, which is just not as big in the US. It's very big in Europe. They work, there's teams and stuff like that. And that's just something I've never been a part of because I didn't start triathlon until I was here in the US.
Right.
So I've raced for the Netherlands in terms of I'm Dutch.
Right.
But other than that, I've had really no contact or connection with them. I know a few Dutch triathletes, but that's pretty much it.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's, I can't really say anything about it. I think it's a shame for them, right? Because you're really, really good, and it's long distance, and like you said, it feels like the majority of the Dutch triathletes are really focused on the shorter distances. Jeff.
Yeah. So with our last interview, Eric was doing winter triathlons. I know this is kind of opposite of what you just said, but have you considered doing the winter triathlons?
So Eric is from the Netherlands. He lives in Bolivia, but he loves to ice skate. He's so he did the Elfstedentocht and things like that. And he loves doing the winter triathlons, right?
Yeah. Have you considered doing
this? Cold is just not really my thing. I mean, I love snowboarding, but other than that, we lived up in Wisconsin and it's cold up there like 8 months of the year. It's not for me. I don't feel like people should live there. I like a winter, but I prefer it when it stays above freezing, at least most of the time. Mm. So I'm not sure any kind of a winter triathlon would really be my thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's smart because you can even do, so you have the winter triathlon, but you also have the Xterra, the mountain biking, running, trail running, and then I'm not sure if they do swimming, maybe. Yeah, so that's another, let's say, discipline of triathlon. So we spoke about you and what you like and some of the injuries and the training. Goals for 2021, do you already have some goals set for you that you want to peak at in 2021 if COVID allows?
If COVID allows, I'm starting to look. The pro schedule for Ironman isn't fully out yet. There's not always a pro race with every Ironman race. Mm-hmm. And so we have to kind of wait and see. Probably my first full will be Tulsa. It'll be the North American Championship. It's about 2 hours from here, so I'll be able to go out and train on the course, which will be nice. And I think it'll be a good course for me. It's hilly. It's kind of like the area around here. It's not mountainous by any means, but it's never flat. And so I think that'll be a good course. And then I'm considering Frankfurt, because then I can go see my family after.
Okay.
We were going to go to the Netherlands for the holidays, but that obviously didn't happen. So I'm hoping to go for the summer. So it'd be nice to, do a race, right, and then go hang out with them for a little bit and then come back. And then I'll just kind of see what's on the schedule again. And I'll pick the hilly courses. I would like to do Ironman Canada. I really like Chattanooga. We'll see what else is out there, right, that actually has a pro race, and then kind of play it by ear. Hopefully stay uninjured. That's really a big goal.
Right.
And I would love to qualify for Kona. I mean, that is definitely one that's still on the list and I would like to do. Haven't made it there yet. I think, I haven't made it there yet. I think it is within reach. So mm-hmm. I think if I just have a good race, if I can pull it all together, right, I think I just get a chance of getting a slot for Kona. So that is definitely something I'm going to try to work for.
Right. Right. Do you qualify for Kona just on an individual base? It doesn't look at our country or anything like that, right? There are not a set number of places per country. No, exactly.
No, it's purely your performance during races. Right. So usually there's one slot per race, and kind of like the championships races, there's sometimes two or three. Mm-hmm. So the top person gets the slot. Unless they already have slot, it'll roll down to the next person. But,
right. And from which area are you in the Netherlands, or born and raised, or your family currently?
Born and raised in Utrecht.
Okay, that's nice and
nice
and central.
My family's still there. So.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe Jeff hears, but I don't hear an accent at all when you talk. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There, it's hidden, but it's there. I lived in Maryland for 3 years when I was a kid, from 91 to 94.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of, I was 6 when we moved here and 9 when we moved back. So it was much more of a natural age to kind of pick up a language and just went to school here.
Oh, okay.
And then we moved back and I spent, the rest of my youth in the Netherlands. And then I came, I did my undergrad and my master's in the Netherlands, and then I moved for my PhD, and then never went back.
Right. And it's, so my youngest daughter was six also when we moved over to the US. And that's almost seven years ago right now. So you have a similar experience then. We had her on, she had to get all her immunizations, which was something that we really don't know in the Netherlands besides the really standard ones. And then within 2 weeks, we kind of put her on the yellow school bus and we waved because we couldn't go into the school anyways. It was funny. It's such an amazing story. And she has zero accent at all. My oldest daughter also doesn't, but she really speaks American English. We often asked her, what do you do when you don't know something in the first couple of weeks? And she just kind of shrugged her shoulders and did that. And she said, people start helping me and showing me around. And that's how I managed in school, in elementary school or kindergarten even. So that's, I guess it's, you have a similar experience. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, Jerry, you got a little bit of a Philly accent now. Certain words.
Yeah, exactly. So, and one other thing. So you're a part of the I Raise Like a Girl organization, right? Can you tell us a little bit more about that organization?
Yeah. So it's a team that was set up by a friend of mine, Angela Nate. She's also a professional triathlete, and she started this team just really to promote triathlon to women. That's really the goal. And what it really comes down to is that it's a way to create a community. Right. So anybody can join the team, any level, any kind of, you don't have to necessarily be doing triathlons. If you want to do triathlons or if you're just a runner or a cyclist, you can join the team. And then she has a bunch of sponsors that kind of sponsor the team as well with giveaway prizes. And so she'll come up with kind of just ideas and things to do every month that kind of bring the team together so that right. You know, post pictures of you doing something or think about something and write a story about it, something about yourself. So that just to kind of promote everybody sharing stuff about themselves. And it allows people to connect and find other women that are, you know, doing similar things, both at races or just locally where you live.
Right.
People have been getting together through it. So I think it's just been a great way to have kind of build female confidence in the sport through creating a community.
Right. Yeah. I think that's great. Organizations like that. And that's one of the things that I see more in the US than I see in the Netherlands is more like the community aspect and people showing their initiatives to women and girls getting more involved with sports and really creating that community aspect. So I think that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any other questions? I'm looking at, we're almost at the top of the hour. I want to be conscious about the time.
Yeah, but we're at the hour mark. Is there anything that you want to bring up, Lenny? Any topics we can discuss?
I don't have anything specific in mind.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Sometimes people want to shout out their sponsors or, you know, their blog or Twitter handle.
No, we'll make sure to do
that. I mean, that's my website, lennyramsey.com. I, you know, need to be a little bit better about, you know, posting blogs and stuff. I'm going to try this year. That's on my list of 2021
the resolutions.
Goals.
Yeah,
you know, I want to do more than just write a race report. And the part of that is just that I don't feel like anybody would really want to read my race report. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like I'd rather write something that, you know, is a little bit deeper than just like, oh, this is how my race went. So I'm kind of trying to figure out what that is and kind of how to use maybe my science and neuroscience background and my interests in kind of more the psychology of things and trying to kind of combine all of that. So that's kind of what I've been kind of teetering with the past couple months. So I'm hoping to kind of get some of that out over the next few months. So that'll all be on my website when it does get there. But I've never really put a lot of focus into sponsorships, partially because I have a job. My wife has a really good job. So I haven't had the need for it. And I'm not a great social media person. I don't want to be posting things, especially not about stuff that I don't actually care about, or that I don't actually really like. So I've kind of stayed away from that, stayed back from that a little bit, so that I can just focus on the sport. I love the sport for the sport. And that's where I want to be. So that's kind of where my focus is.
Right. Yeah, and you're always more than happy to join us again if you want to do a race review or something training, or maybe you found the silver bullet to prevent injury from running. More than happy to join us again in the future. But no, thank you so much for your time. I think it was absolutely great to have you and to learn more about you, and to also look at your 2021 goals. And we'll be keeping an eye out on you and your results.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you. This is great. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thanks so much, Lenny. Thank you.